Thank you for your kind introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to this afternoon session. As I was introduced, my name is Debola Akinyemi, and I'm an epidemiologist with the Maryland Violent Death Reporting System. I'm here today to present our work regarding suicides associated with intimate partner problems, looking at the victim and incident characteristics in Maryland, looking at data from 2003 to 2011. Just to give a bit of background about this topic, suicide is an increasing public health concern in Maryland. According to the Maryland Vital Statistics Annual Report, in 2013, 561 Marylanders ended their own lives, compared to 557 in 2012. And these are just fatalities. And as you know, the burden of suicide goes beyond fatalities. This does not include suicide attempts. It doesn't include hospital admissions or ER admissions. And also, intimate partner problem or violence has been shown to be a frequent stressor that contributes towards suicides. To give a bit of background regarding the Maryland Violent Death Reporting System, for those who perhaps don't know much about that, this is a CDC-funded web-based surveillance system that captures data, information on all types of violent deaths, to include suicides, homicides, legal intervention deaths, and deaths of undetermined intent. There are three required data sources, and those are death certificates, medical examiner reports, and law enforcement reports. And all these three data sources are synthesized to create one single incident report for each victim. But in this study, we are looking at just suicides as a subtype of all violent deaths. This chart is showing the rate of suicides from 2003 to 2011. The solid line shows all suicides, and the broken line shows IPP, IPV associated suicides. A bit of definitions at this point. IPP refers to intimate partner problem, and that refers to conflict or friction between intimate partners, such as a divorce, a breakup, or other forms of friction between intimate partners. IPV refers to violence between intimate partners. And another definition is circumstances, which refers to events that either precede the suicide events or impending events. So anything that is sort of, any events that are associated with that event are referred to as circumstances. And IPP, IPV are circumstances, are types of circumstances. And just to add, these definitions are based on the NVDRS coding manual, which is prescribed by the CDC. Okay, so moving on, let's look at a few objectives regarding this study. We're going to look at, what is the frequency of IPP, IPV associated suicides? What is the prevalence of IPP suicides by demographic groups, whether age, gender, or race? Also, what is the level of alcohol involvement in this type of suicides? In addition, what other leading circumstances contribute towards IPP suicides? Moving on to the case selection. As I mentioned earlier on, we looked at suicides to Maryland residents between 2003 to 2011. Just to add at this point that MVDRS currently does not capture out-of-state resident deaths. So these are just residents who were injured and pronounced in Maryland. And so of these, we had 274 with no circumstance information. And we had well over 90%, the 4,076, for which we had circumstance information. And of those, we had 1,055 in which IPP or IPV was a reported circumstance from the medical examiner report or the law enforcement report. So in other words, if the report did indicate that IPP was a circumstance contributing towards the death, that was checked off, and that's the 1,055 which we are studying on this piece of work. Now, moving on to a few demographics here. This chart is showing the suicide rates by age and by gender. We can see that the highest age group which is the purple for all persons. The highest group is the 25 to 34 age block. And for males, which is the blue one, you can see that the highest, the top three rates are highest between the ages of 25 to 54. And then for females, it's also 25 to 54 years of age. Other demographics to note are that majority of victims were males. That's 83.9% were males, compared to 16.1% of females. Also, the male suicide rate at 3.6 per 100,000 was approximately six times more than the female suicide rate at 0.6 per 100,000 population. Also, white males had a rate that was two times that of the black males. White males had a rate of 4.4 per 100,000 compared to black males at 2.2 per 100,000 population. And like we can see, the age-specific rate was highest in the 25 to 34 age brackets. Okay, so moving on, we want to look at the top three injury methods by sex. We can see that for male suicides, that's the blue bar, firearms were involved in over half, that's 53.3%. And then after that, you had hanging, strangulation, or suffocation, followed by poisoning for males. Now for females, the leading method was poisoning at 31.2%. But you can sort of see that the variation for the females is not as wide as it is for the males. But nonetheless, poisoning was still the leading method among female suicides. Other demographics to sort of note are that majority of the victims had between 9 and 12 years of education. Also, among the victims who are married, among the victims aged 18 years and older, about half were married at the time of death at 51.4%. Almost a third had never been married at 32.3%, and 14.3% were divorced at the time of death. Also of note is that we had 16.4% of the victims were veterans at the time of death. And majority of the suicides occurred in a house or apartment, and that was 76%. Moving on, we want to look at, this table is showing the number and percent of victims who tested positive for alcohol and drugs by toxicology variable. So the middle column is showing the number and percentage of victims who are tested. For alcohol, majority were tested, that's 87.7%. And of those who were tested, 416 were positive, so almost half were positive. And if you look at the alcohol concentration, of those who were positive, well over half, that's the 60.1, had a BAC level greater or equal to 0.08, which is the legal limit for alcohol intoxication. So we can sort of see the role in which alcohol intoxication is playing in this group of suicides. And also, looking at the drug categories, you would see that antidepressants, is high at 17.2. And then also opiates accounted for 14% of those who are tested at the time of death. And then, the other categories are, much smaller levels. Okay, now let's look at the circumstance information. So like I mentioned earlier on, this circumstance information comes from either the medical examiner reports or the law enforcement reports. So these were the top circumstances that were seen in addition to the IPP or IPV circumstance. So we can see that mental health issues obviously are the top two. Current mental health problem, current depressed mood. We can also see disclosed intent to commit suicide, also another suicide marker, and as well as the suicide notes. Then moving down, we can sort of see other life events sort of playing a role as well. Things like financial problems, job problems, or physical health problems. Also, I've noticed those who had a history of suicide attempts at 18%. Now, a couple of points to sort of throw out there for discussion and for thought. We can see that IPP-IPV suicides varies by prevalence, mechanism of injury, and also by age, sex, and race. And also, we can also see other important contributing circumstances, in particular mental health problems, current depressed mood, mental health problems, and also adverse life events. Also, we can see the role alcohol intoxication or the role of alcohol use place about the, or prior to the suicide events. Then also, the disclosed intent variable, which captures the time, which captures if there was a time lag between the actual statement of intention and the actual death. And this could be an opportunity for intervention if people did disclose to you, maybe a family member, that they were intending to sort of take their lives. There are a couple of limitations we found when carrying out this piece of work. One of them is that the suicide count excludes out-of-state resident deaths. Then also, circumstance information was not available for 6.3% of victims, and those could have been different to those for which we had circumstance information. Then also, of note is that the circumstance information is limited to what is provided by family, friends, or people known to the victim, which could be subject to bias. To round up, some concluding thoughts. We can see that understanding specific circumstances that contribute to IPP suicides can definitely help to guide prevention strategies in the subgroup of suicides. Also, we can see the variation in the prevalence and risk factors in different demographic groups, which can definitely help target interventions. And in Maryland, there's no doubt the state-level data from MVDRS will certainly help to focus program priorities on geographic areas of need. And I would like to acknowledge my boss, who is in the audience, Dr. Cliff Mitchell, and also my colleague, Anne Liu, also in the audience as well, and my other colleagues who could not be here. Thank you, and at this point, I welcome any comments or thoughts you may have.
Did you count murder suicides or homicide suicides where the partner would murder his or her partner and then die by suicide themselves?
And kill themselves, right? So in other words, maybe like a spouse, you know,
yeah,
kills,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, I know it's not that common, but I was wondering if this...
It is. Apparently, MVDS, we do capture that. It's called, you know, merged cases. So we do capture that, yes. So if the victim committed suicide, the person would be counted amongst the suicides, yes.
Okay. And
that's right.
Second question is, you said that one of the limitations was that you were collecting information from family and friends. So in your causes of suicide, I saw there was current mental health problem. So was that a report from a family member or friend by, say, a police officer where the family member said, oh, he's been really suffering from depression? So and then on the death certificate or where the medical examiner say, person's been suffering from depression, and then that gets coded as a current mental health problem?
Let me see if I understand your question. What I meant was that this circumstance information are from the medical examiner reports.
Okay.
So whatever is in the report is what we capture as well.
Sure.
So we don't actually interview, you know, our staff don't interview,
yeah.
You know, family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much, you know, the investigator interviews maybe family, friends, whoever
okay.
is, you know, at the scene at the time or who knows the victim, you know. So that is where that information is coming from. We don't get medical records to sort of you know confirm or deny whether or not you know
sure.
the person had mental health you know circumstance. So it's based upon what is in the reports, whether it's the police reports or the medical examiner reports.
Okay.
And that could be a limitation, you know.
Yeah. Is this one last question?
Yeah, sure.
Did you do a breakdown at all of suicides by whether they had intimate partner violence and intimate partner problems?
Yes, this one is intimate partner problems or IPV. And the reason is because sometimes, you know, CDC sort of change some of the definitions. So as not to avoid losing any of the cases, but these are predominantly intimate partner problems. Just a few are the ones in which there are IPV.
Okay.
Yes, but these are predominantly intimate partner problems.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I assume that because the bulk of your information is coming from medical examination reports and things like that,
mm-hmm.
do you think that this is underreporting the amount of suicides that can be attributable to intimate partner violence? And what do you think, you know?
We use death certificates as well.
Okay.
Death certificates, medical examiner reports, and police reports.
Okay.
So the way the system is designed is we then collate all three data sources. But don't forget, death certificates don't contain any of the circumstance information. So we can only get that from medical examiner narratives and police reports, you know. So the circumstance information is from medical examiner and police reports, and not from, but the counts are based on death certificates.
Okay.
You know, so we just sort of synthesize all three sources into one single incident.
Okay.
You know, so that's the that's how that is done. Yes.
So I really like this. It gives me lots of ideas about going back and looking at some of the things in our data. The piece that I was wondering, especially like with the mechanism piece, how do the IPP, IPD suicides compare in terms of mechanism to the non-IPP, IPD suicides? What is, for example, the what proportion of suicides are done with where they use a firearm? For the suicide when it's non-IPP, IPD. In your data, you showed 53%.
For males, yeah.
Okay, for males.
Yeah.
So what would it be if it's not IPP, IPD?
Generally speaking, off the top of my head, that's still the general trend for all suicides. Well, for male suicide, it's still firearms, you know, suicides overall.
So in America, because, you know, I'm just thinking, like, with our data, we slipped below 50% for suicides.
Oh, okay.
You know, on firearms.
Okay.
And so I was wondering, Maryland.
Generally speaking, it's still firearms for males and poisoning for females. Generally speaking, that's still the trend.
So the next piece of analysis that I think would be really fun, kind of alluding to suicide, would be to look at IPP, IPD homicides and compare them to IPP, IPD suicides. And how are they the same and how are they the different?
That's interesting. We've done a study on IPP homicides, but we haven't compared them together.
I'd like to see those side by side.
Okay.
That'd be really fun.
Okay. That's
Minnesota.
okay, that's something. Yeah, we have an IPV report, but on homicides, you know, but we haven't sort of compared them.
That kind of strikes me. We did an investigation once on murder suicides, and I thought, well, okay, the perpetrators on murder suicides are a lot like the people who die of suicide in compared to characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, the perpetrators on murder suicides were more like the homicide perpetrators. In there, and the biggest characteristic that I recall from the intern who did this work was the amount of overkill that was associated with the murder-suicide. When they killed their partner, not only did they shoot them, but they shot them, stabbed them, burned them. They just this real amount of overkill, which goes way beyond the kind of thing that you were seeing with the just the simple
homicide
or suicide.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
Kind of thing.
Mm, okay.
So.
That's interesting. Any other questions? Okay.
So, fabulous presentation.
That's my boss.
but one thing I was searched, and I don't remember this off the top of my head, do you remember when the biggest racial differences were in terms of were there any significant racial distributions in terms of age of distribution of suicide? So if you look at males or females, if you look at race, does it make a difference?
Off the top of my head, I think it does. I think it's the early young adults, off the top of my head, yes.
Both for whites and blacks?
Yes, I think it's the young adults.
So there's no shift either way?
No,
yeah.
No. Thank you.
Thank you.